fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Good morning. At 11:01, it is 46 semi-sunny degrees in Flemington. The forecast for today is mostly sunny with a high of 45. So that 46 is suspect. Tonight, there's a chance of snow after 2 a.m., increasing clouds, which I imagine will happen before the chance of snow. The low around 32, west wind around 6 miles an hour. For your Friday, there's a chance of rain and snow before 8 a.m., and then a chance of rain, and then it will only be cloudy with a high of 55. Saturday, there's a chance of snow before 10 a.m., then rain and snow between 10 and 2, then rain likely after 2 o'clock. High near 38, new snow accumulation 1 to 3 inches. And then Sunday, it will be sunny, a high of 42.
So tell me Morgan picked this song, too.
She did not. I did it all by myself.
We'll find in a moment why Jennifer chose the song Fame to open our show. Good morning, and welcome to the Library Show, starring Jennifer Winberry and Jim Thatch, broadcasting live over the internet from the Huntington County Chamber offices in downtown Flemington, New Jersey. Tune in every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. and get to know the Huntington County Library. The library offers a wide array of services, programs, and community support to the residents of Huntington County. Author Dara Horn will be calling into the show, and she's going to talk about her new book, Eternal Life. Next week is National Library Week. Stop by HCL and celebrate with us. Jennifer hasn't slept for 3 days, because that would be too long. The 22nd annual Friends of HCL book sale is a few weeks away. We have information about the book drives and details about the sale. All that and more on today's Library Show.
I just got it.
What?
I haven't slept for 3 days because that would have been too long. But I thought, yeah, that's about right.
Okay, Jennifer, Irene Cara and Fame, is that correct? Is that who sings it?
It is.
Why are we playing this?
Because it was the only song that I could think of quickly that I want. She says, I want to live forever.
Oh, for eternal?
For eternity.
Gotcha.
And then I thought I should have found the theme song From Here to Eternity, or there would have been a lot better choices. That's the story of my life. There's always a better choice.
Endless Love by Lionel Richie and Diana Ross.
It's quite a love story.
Oh, it's not? I thought you said it was about a husband and a wife.
Well, it started out as a love story, but it has become a curse.
Okay, so Dara Horn.
We talked to her.
What time will she be joining us?
11:15.
Okay.
And we did talk to her once back when her last book came out, Guide to the Perplexed.
Okay.
Which I can't believe was 5 years ago.
Really?
I don't think it really was.
Was she our first guest ever, maybe?
She was one of them.
We should have notes about our guests that we've had so we remember.
Yeah, wouldn't that be good?
Yeah. Note to self.
Yeah, because I can't believe it was 5 years ago.
Okay, so before Dara comes on, let's kind of catch up on what's coming up. And like I mentioned scant minute ago, next week is National Library Week. Every year National Library Week is celebrated. This year it's April 8th through April 15th. And we're going to be doing some stuff at the Huntington County Library that might interest you. Starting on Tuesday, April 10th. And we're going to have an information table set up in the lobby. We're going to have a lot of information about our programs and services there. We'll have a library staff member there. So stop by and talk to us. We'll have a board up. You can write down what you love about your library. Jennifer, what comes to mind first? What do you love about your library?
Jim Thatch.
Oh, come on. Do you owe me money or something that I forgot about?
No. The books, the people, the books.
Jennifer is an avid reader. There was no accident that she became a librarian.
It was.
It was written in the stars. So we're going to have that table set up. We're also going to have a gift basket for kids and a gift basket for adults that we're going to be giving away. So if you come by the library and use your library card, we'll give you an entry form. Fill that out and put that in the box. And good luck. Maybe you'll win We just went up to the North County branch today. We're going to be doing this at three locations. There'll be an adult and kids basket, not just at the headquarters library, but at the North County branch and the South County branch libraries as well. So enter to win. So stop by anytime next week and you'll be eligible to win that basket. We're also going to have the Hunterdon County Library Bookmobile. Wednesday, April 11th is also Bookmobile Day. So all day in front of the headquarters library on Route 12, the HCL Bookmobile will be parked out front, and you're welcome to come aboard and tour it and see what it's like inside. Surprisingly spacious.
It is. We just had a group of people come from Connecticut yesterday to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're purchasing.
And they were impressed. Were they in awe of the graphics?
They certainly were.
Were they?
But they did make a note to make sure when it gets wrapped to tell the people wrapping it not to wrap the windows.
Don't wrap. We should take it off the windows.
Because it peels right off and it looks terrible.
Unfortunately. Can we just peel it off our windows? Or just cut it so it's not the peeled parts?
I don't know what will happen.
I'm going out there with an X-Acto knife this afternoon. Would you mind?
Nope. Don't scratch the Bookmobile.
You can't scratch glass with a blade, can you?
No, but make sure you don't. Oh, actually, the Bookmobile's out at Bloomsbury this afternoon, so not today.
Okay, so it's already out there. So the Bookmobile, if you ever want to see what it looks like on the inside of our library on wheels, stop by on Wednesday, April 11th, next Wednesday. We also have a kids' craft going on that night at the main library. I think it's going on Thursday at the North County Branch Library, the kids' craft. But on Wednesday night, bring your child by the library for a kids' craft, or if you like swing music, we have a swing band. Richard Reiter's Swing Band will be performing in celebration of National Library Week. And then the information table will be set up all week, so just so you can learn. We'll have information about our art sale, about the book sale, about Community Day, about our summer concerts, a little bit of everything coming up. And, of course, all of our concerts, speakers, and services. So next week, National Library. Remember to come by the library and celebrate with us.
I also want to mention we have a new addition to the headquarters library, and they will be at the North County branch shortly. We got two charging stations.
Okay, that's big news.
There's one by the elevator on the upper level and one across from the circulation desk on the lower level with two easy chairs by each one.
So what is the charger station, just in case I just came from another planet?
In case you came from another planet. There's a cord for almost every device known to man.
And already there? So you just plug in?
Plug it in.
If you're low and mm-hmm. Nice. Whose idea was this?
The new director's.
Very good. Yes. I like it. It must have been a popular thing at his old library.
I think so. And he had suggested it when he first came in, but then a couple days later, the snowstorm started to happen, so it seemed to make sense.
Stopping to meet our new director during National Library Week. He's already getting some stuff done, Jennifer.
He is.
Impressed.
Good.
So I'm sure he'll be manning the info table at some point. We'll figure that schedule out this afternoon, actually. Note for PR meeting discussion. That we got a man that information table. Will Jennifer Winberry be manning it at any point?
If she's here, she sure will.
Why? Where will you be?
I don't know. Who knows? I'm Will of the Wisp.
What's that mean?
Footloose and Fancy Free.
Oh, yeah? Are you?
You never know what'll
take. Are you really?
I'm really not.
Okay, Jennifer. We got a couple minutes before our break. Anything else you want to bring up before we welcome Dara Horn?
Do you want to talk about some of the programs during National Library Week?
Well, I mentioned the Richard Reiter Swing Band. Maybe I'll go in a little more depth. Jennifer, is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
I can do that. I'll do that just for you.
Thanks.
Rich Rider Swing Band. For over 20 years, the Richard White Rider Swing Band has been New Jersey's most popular swing combo. And they perform familiar standards from the swing era, highlighting America's greatest composers, including Gershwin, Berlin, Porter, Ellington, etc. So once again, this is Wednesday, April 11th at 7 p.m. at the Hunter County Library. It's free and open to the public, as are all of our programs, Jennifer. So we look forward to seeing you there.
And we also have on Tuesday, April 10th at the Headquarters Library, Maximizing Your Social Security Benefits with Stephen Oliver of Manhattan Ridge Advisors. And Mr. Oliver will help demystify and simplify Social Security, helping attendees understand the recent changes to Social Security and be ready to make the best claiming choices for themselves and their family.
On Wednesday afternoon at the North County Branch Library, Fred Miller will be stopping by with his Lectures in Song series. The topic will be Don't Fence Me In, Songs of the Cowboy and the Old West. This is at 2 p.m. at the North County Branch Library on Wednesday, April 11th. That show will be repeated at the main library on Thursday, April 19th at 2 p.m. Fred Miller is sponsored by a generous grant by the Friends of the Hunterdon County Library.
And the other thing, one of the other things our friends sponsor is our movie licenses. And tonight at the Headquarters Library, we will be showing Get Out. It's time for a young African-American to meet his white girlfriend's parents for a weekend in their secluded estate in the woods. But before long, the friendly, polite ambiance gives way to a nightmare. And tomorrow at 2 p.m. at the North County Branch Library, we will be showing Victoria and Abdul, if you missed it last week at the Headquarters Library.
No, last week was Three Billboards. Remember, we keep getting this mistaken.
That's right. 2 weeks ago. Whatever.
Actually, according to they changed the schedule. This wasn't our fault, Jennifer.
Oh, good.
I'm looking at a schedule where Three Billboards was on March 8th.
And then we changed.
I have an outdated thing here.
Yeah, we changed it.
We?
Because of the impending snowstorm.
Gotcha.
And
it never really sank in, did it? That we changed it.
Obviously not.
Okay, we're going to go to our first commercial break. And we have some messages for you. And then on the other side, Dara Horn, author of Eternal Life, will be joining us.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Welcome back to the Library Show. Jim Thatch has just put his feet up, and I have Dara Horn on the phone.
Hi, I do.
Yay. I'm always nervous. So this is the second time we've had Dara with us. She's the author of Eternal Life, and we had her, I can't believe it was 5 years ago, when you wrote the guide for the Perplexed.
Yes.
And when I saw it was 2013, I was really surprised.
Well, it was the end of 2013. This is the beginning of 2018.
Okay, all right. So it wasn't so long.
Yeah.
So Eternal Life came out in February, and then we had a few snowstorms, so we're a little late getting to you. But the story basically is Rachel is a woman with a problem. She can't die. Her recent troubles, widowhood, a failing business, an unemployed middle-aged son are only the latest in a litany spanning dozens of countries, scores of marriages, and hundreds of children. In the 2,000 years since she made a spiritual bargain to save the life of her first son back in Roman-occupied Jerusalem, she tried everything to free herself, and only one other person in the world understands. A man she once loved passionately who has been stalking her through the centuries, convinced they belong together forever. And Rachel wants one thing more than anything in life. She wants to die.
Yes.
That's pretty accurate.
Yes.
And I have to say, the idea of living forever doesn't really appeal to me.
Well, especially not after reading this book, right?
No. So, where did you come up with what was the impetus for this book?
Sure. Well, so, you know, this is, you know, stories about immortal characters are not very original, right? I mean, this is some perennial theme in literature. You know, we all know stories like Tuck Everlasting or The Highlander. I mean, Epic of Gilgamesh, right? I mean, this is a very consistent theme in literature about immortal characters. But what I noticed when you look at those stories is that they're never about fertile women. And I started wondering why. And so this actually is, you know, I'm not a very autobiographical writer. This is my fifth novel, and oh, I've written books about Civil War spies and art heists. I mean, I'm not a person who writes about my own life, but this is my most autobiographical book. And what I mean by that is not that I myself am immortal, although if I am, I haven't found that out yet, but that I have four young children, and there's something about when you're in raising a larger family where time doesn't pass, it just sort of repeats. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, you make lunch and you make lunch and you make lunch again, and it's like, you know, thousands of times for decades. And, you know, I have friends who have maybe one or two kids who, you know, they get all nostalgic at the elementary school graduations, and I'm just thinking, I'm going to be back here next year, I'm doing this again. You know, I've not had that experience of raising children going by so fast. I mean, I'm going to be the tooth fairy, like, until my own teeth fall out. So I think just sort of feeling that experience and thinking, like, well, how would this story change of an immortal character if it was from a fertile woman's point of view?
Can I just insert a program note? The tooth fairy does exist. Dara just helps the tooth fairy.
That's true. That is true.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt.
Yes, thank you. Yes, I am an indispensable aid to the tooth fairy. So this is, you know, something that I thought about is that, you know, the role that women, you know, historically women's lives have been much more determined by obligations to others rather than ambition for themselves. And I think that that idea really sort of changed what it meant to create an immortal character. And ultimately that sort of made the book about, well, what is the purpose of being alive?
But her decision to become immortal was really for someone else.
Exactly. So yeah. So then this isn't, I don't think, giving away too much, because it happens, you find this out pretty early in the book. The way she gets into this situation is because of, oh, I think it was in the book description you
yes.
read earlier too. Right, the way she gets into this situation is that her first child is very, very ill, and she is, she basically makes this vow in this ancient temple in Jerusalem to save her child's life, and this vow, basically the cost of this vow is her own death, and so she basically trades away her own death in order to save the life of her child. I mean, and this is, though, I think this is really something that I think is, you know, while this immortal kind of thing is not familiar to any parents, but the experience of really knowing, you know, when you're a parent that you would do anything for your child, I think is something that's very familiar. And, you know, when she gets herself, when she takes this you know, when she makes this deal, essentially, she isn't really thinking ahead about what this means for her. She's only thinking about what it means for her child, which I think is something very common for parents of, you know, children of any age, really.
And Elazar, her husband.
Yes. Well, at one point, right.
Right. Her immortal husband, I guess.
Yes.
She gets tired of him. Or he begins to bug her. Because they could be together forever.
And right, which in would normally be like a happily ever after.
Right.
You know, and that's something else that was interesting to me because, so yes, these two, they start out as lovers. This child that she's saving is in fact his child, although at the time that they have this child, she's in fact married to someone else.
It happens.
There is a later point where they do marry. But there, as we say, if you were going to check a Facebook status for them, you know, it would be something like, it's complicated. You know, kind of an on-again, off-again would be one way to put it. You know, because he is completely devoted to her. He wants them to be together forever. But what she finds is that, you know, when they're together, they can't change, right? Because they're immortal, they never change. And what she craves in her life is change. And he only craves her. And so that's, in a sense, why this will never work out. And to me, what was interesting about writing it was that, you know, when you're writing novels, you are creating always a kind of a narrative arc, right? And, you know, there's some expectation that, like, you know, the two people get together and they get married and that's the end, or it's a tragedy and they break up and that's the end. You know, but there's this idea where we put an ending on something when you're telling a story. And what was interesting to me about writing this story about these people is that it felt more like real life than it did like writing fiction because, you know, in real life, it's like you get married, you know, you have a wedding, and then the wedding is followed by a marriage, right, which could be good or bad. It might last, it might not, but there's a whole life there that has all kinds of changes and vicissitudes, and that's what their relationship has. And, you know, it was weird to write that because it's sort of like we have this, when we write fiction, part of the fiction of fiction is that stories begin and end. But, of course, you know, most events in our lives don't have such clear-cut boundaries, and this relationship between them doesn't either.
So, but she has to die, not figuratively, every so often, or people are going to notice.
Yes, right. Well, so there's a mechanism where she's able to kind of drop out of one life that she's made for herself and then regenerate elsewhere. And she does sort of have a kind of like a physical aging that happens during those times, so the people around her don't suspect what is happening with her. But there's also, I mean, these are sort of things that end up being complications of the plot because there's, you know, at one point, for most of history, it was easy for her to kind of, you know, move out of one family and then go skip town, go to a different country or different town and start another family. But now, of course, you know, it's not so easy to do that anymore. You need all kinds of ID and things like that. So that's one thing that's changed about her life in the 21st century. And then, of course, the other thing that's changed is there are new technologies available which may make it possible for her to die. And that's, you know, a lot of the plot of the book hinges on that, her attempt to die and whether or not that's going to work out for her and whether we as readers want it to work out for her or not.
And I don't think this came out in the book, but and I might have forgotten because I read it before it came out. Would she worry about the new medical technologies that like somebody's going to notice something's not quite right with this woman? You know, if they look at too closely at her.
Well, that is what happens.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Because yeah. And I don't want to give too much away, but she, one of her grandchildren in her current life in the 21st century she lives in New Jersey and works in New York. In her current life, she has a granddaughter who is who's a biologist who's studying gene therapy and who basically is able to get a DNA sample from her and realizes, like, yeah, something's very, very strange about this woman.
Right. But, I mean, yeah. Like, before that, like, if let's take you for an MRI. But, I mean, she's had hundreds of children. And it seems like her body kind of remembers that.
Yes.
Like, she mentions that she's exhausted from having to nurse children over and over and over. I have to keep doing this.
Yes. Well, this book, as I said, is very autobiographical and very realistic.
Oh.
Exhausted parents of many, many children.
Yes. Like, times 100.
Yes. Well, you know, it's like no matter how many children you have, they take up all of your time, right?
Right. and it sounds like it might be fun to pick where you're going to live next and start over again, kind of knowing what you knew. But it must be utterly exhausting. you know, like when you turn, I'm going to turn 50 this year, and
happy birthday.
And they, you know, everybody says, wouldn't you like to go back 20 years, but only if you knew what you could know. And so
Rachel,
she,
of course, if you knew what you could know, then you wouldn't be that age.
Exactly, but Rachel kind of does.
Yes. Well, so she does, but in a sense, she does learn things during the course of this lifetime of hers, but she can't change.
Right, and she carries the knowledge. It's almost, I kind of was thinking of like a Back to the Future kind of thing. Like if you change one thing, it's going to change everything. But she doesn't. She seems to keep doing the same thing over and over and over.
Well, because she isn't capable of change, right? I mean,
right.
That's one of the problems with immortality is that she has, because there's no arc to her life, she has no real ability to change or develop, right? I mean, if you think about how as you get older, it becomes harder and harder to change. Well, imagine if you were around for 2,000 years.
Right.
This is actually something that bioethicists talk about when they talk about life extension, because this is another thing that was sort of an inspiration for this novel is that, you know, now there's all these Silicon Valley companies that are sort of developing, you know, longevity research and life extension research. And one thing that bioethicists talk about is that, you know, there would be no social change if people lived for hundreds and hundreds of years. Because can you imagine if, like, today there were people around who were like, yeah, slavery is cool.
Right.
Right? I mean, you would have these paralyzed people from the past that would not be able to conceive of change. So that's also true for her emotionally, that she's not able to, in a sense, she's not able to change. And I think the other thing that's, you know, and people look at her and sort of say, like, well, you know, how, you know, what is, you know, doesn't she move forward in each life gaining all this wisdom? But in a sense, what the wisdom that she gains is about her own limitations. And not just her own limitations, like, in terms of her personally, but her own limitations as a human being. And, like, one example of this is when she looks at her children and she sees, she has quite a few children who are scientists in various eras. And, you know, like this granddaughter who's a biologist, you know, she starts explaining to her about telomeres and gene therapy. And she's like, well, I would follow this and learn about this, but is this just going to become another one of these things about the four humors?
Right.
Like, is this going to be another Music of the Spheres? Right? You know, and then also she's aware of, like, how little she can change her children, right? Because I think most parents have this idea that, you know, you could sort of shape and mold this person to be whatever you want them to be. And, you know, she has had so many children that she just knows how impossible that is.
Which, on one hand, I guess, is a good realization to come to. Except then you end up with your son living in your basement.
Yes, right. She's officially a failure as a parent because, you know, her 56-year-old son has moved back in with her.
I like that you didn't really feel the impulse to take her. You only show Rachel in the very past when she first made the deal, and in the present, you resisted. Maybe there wasn't an urge, but like to take her through several different decades or centuries.
Yeah,
it was
well,
more
you know,
upon. Like reflection rather than writing a chapter about her in 1879.
Yes. Yeah, because that would be sort of like a schematic way to do it where you're like, and here we are in the Middle Ages.
Right.
Here, I mean, that would be like a very like Disney way to do it, and I wasn't interested in doing that. As you say, most of the book is set in contemporary, you know, 21st century America, and then it goes back to the sort of the period where she, you know, her natural life where she made this decision in the Roman period in Jerusalem. And then there are moments throughout the book of other memories of other times, because the reason I wanted to do it that way is because that's the way we experience the past.
Right.
Right? We don't experience the past, like, as this panorama. Like, if you think about your life, you don't, you know, if you think about, like, you know, looking back on your life, you don't think about your life as sort of like, well, first there was this 10-year period, you know, where my family lived in this place, you know, and then we moved here, and then I went to this school, and then there was this 10-year period where I worked here, and you don't, like, think of your life that way. The way your life, the way your past comes back to you is in moments that remind you of moments from the past, right? It rises
right
up when it's summoned. These moments, and we don't experience it in this linear way, right? And in a sense, so that linear quality of the past is not relevant in our memory, right? Because the way we experience the past is when, oh, something my child said reminded me of something that my father said years ago.
Right.
Right? Oh, this smell makes me think of, you know, what it was like in my house when I was a child, right?
Right.
There are things that bring you back, and so for her, those same things are happening, right? Oh, this child reminds me of my 52nd daughter, right? I mean, she's living the same life as us, just it's a lot longer.
Her life has been filled with heartbreak.
Yeah.
I mean, she has seen so much. She survived the Holocaust And so many people didn't. She's watched Israel go through, I don't know how many changes. She must be tired.
Yes. Well, I mean,
That's it. That is it. I just, it's, you can, her heartbreak is almost palpable.
Yes. And mostly because, she has this immortality. She's had these hundreds and hundreds of children and, of course, outlived all of them.
Right.
Right? And there's that moment, there's kind of a comic scene near the beginning where she goes to a psychiatrist, right? And the psychiatrist says, I think I'm depressed. I'm repeating negative behavior patterns. And, the psychiatrist says, I have to ask you a clinical question. Do you ever think about killing yourself?
All the time.
Exactly, all the time. But, it's just a fantasy, right? It's just ideation.
Right. Like with older people, a lot of times, they'll be like, I've lived a good life. I'm ready. It's okay if I die. I'm ready. I'm glad I'm still alive. But Rachel just can't, and it's just so sad.
Right, that was sort of my intention, is it sort of makes you appreciate the arc of your life, right? And in a sense, there's a moment where she talks about this, where she's, that the point of, there's a chapter where she sort of goes through, what are all the purposes of being alive, and how all of them are contingent on dying.
Right.
I want to leave the world a better place than where I found it. And then she's like, well, that's great if you're planning on leaving. And she basically realizes a life well-lived is a life where you make yourself superfluous.
That's actually the Joshua Max Feldman had reviewed the book in the New York Times a couple of snowstorms ago.
Yes.
And the part that he quoted that I marked was when Rachel said, the hard part isn't living forever, it's making life worth living.
Yes.
And I feel badly for her because I think she's done it so many times that she's tired and she wants to rest.
Yes, but the truth is, of course, we all have moments in our life where we feel that way.
Right.
Right, all of us have been through some, whatever your particular circumstances are, some experience where you're like, I cannot take this anymore.
Right.
Right, but for her, it's sort of, and what I think is, when she encounters those experiences, she's at the limit of what she can control, right? In her case, it's that she's outliving her children. And so then the question is, is this worth it? She does come to a conclusion about that toward the end of the book. But I think that, while hopefully most of us won't have, these as horrific experiences as she has, we all have moments in our life where we are challenged to the point where we realize our absolute limitations as human beings. And also we realize how much we rely on each other. Right, because that's also part of it, is that her life is meaningful through her connections to other people, right? Not through her own accomplishments.
Right.
And that's I think where you have a difference between sort of the traditional male trajectory of living forever, and it's here I am fighting all these wars and something like that, and living through affecting all these historical events, and what she is doing is in a sense affecting historical events through her relationships with other people, specifically her children.
Right. And in the meantime, Elazar is always in the background.
Yes.
And he pops up in 21st century Manhattan.
Yes. And of course, and he's in ancient times, he's a high priest in this ancient Jewish temple in Jerusalem. He's the son of the high priest in his first life. And of course, now he's an internet troll.
Right, and he kind of seemed kind of geeky and nerdy, but she still feels kind of like a bittersweet pull toward him.
Well, of course, because he's the only person who can understand
right.
her. No one else in the world can understand her. Right, and so it is this it's a complicated relationship, right? And it's funny, and one of the amazing things about writing this book and publishing this book is that when people have read it, I've had people tell me that, this is an amazing love story, and then I've had people say, this is like an epic tale of stalking. Both of those readings are correct, right? It is it's a story of true love, and it's a story of stalking, and it sort of really depends on your point of view, right? It is complicated, and I think in that way realistic, the relationship between these people.
Right, and it's almost as if, I wonder if sometimes she wishes she could summon him, because she wants to complain about, like, I can't believe we did this, how stupid was it. You know, he's the only person she can talk to about it.
Really. Exactly, right. He's the only person who can relate to her. But, of course, you know, and he's, of course, awful in his own way. And,
right.
You know, and also she discovers very early on that, like, there's a lot of, I mean, he does some terrible things that make him, you know, not worthy of her trust.
Right, I mean, but it's a pretty isolating kind of life to live for Rachel.
Absolutely.
You know, even though she's got this huge family.
Yes, but of course who she can't really share this
right.
ultimate piece of herself with.
Right. So you mentioned you have four children.
Yes.
Do you not sleep when you're writing, or?
I don't sleep a lot. yeah, I mean, you know, I have four kids. This is my fifth book, so I've been doing this for a long time, so I've become pretty disciplined about writing when people are at school and things like that. But, I mean, it is, I think it's also just a very autobiographical novel in that not just, you know, the logistics of, you know, of any working parent, you know, of course, are very daunting. And I think, you know, that's what she is her whole life, right? I mean, she's always a working parent. And I think that that's, that idea of, like, that everything you're doing is for somebody else. You know, I think it's common for a lot of parents' experience. I think it's also common for a lot of women's experience, whether or not they have children. You know, I mean, it's often women who are in charge of caring for elderly parents or, you know, other kinds of responsibilities are, you know, I think that this is, you know, it's sort of historically a woman's experience, is that idea of sort of bottomless obligation toward other people. And that was really what I wanted to explore, was, you know, how that really feels, and also kind of but also how one derives meaning from it.
Right. Now you're in North Jersey. So yeah. Are you going to be in? Are you touring in the area anywhere? I know you've been to a lot of places already.
Yeah. So well, right, because we were going to speak a few months ago. So yeah, I've been around the country a lot already. I have more events coming up in the next few months. I'm going to be speaking in New Jersey. I'm speaking in Summit in a few weeks, and also in Northern New Jersey. I'm going to be in. Oh, gosh, I don't even remember. I'm going to be in San Diego. I'm going to be in Boston. I'm going to be in Maine. I'm going to a couple places in Canada.
Wow.
You know, I have many more. Albany. I have many more stops up ahead. So
people can look at your website.
Yeah, everything's listed on my website at tarahorn.com.
Take a look. How long do you wait in between books? Like, do you have something niggling in the back of your mind that I think I'm going to think about this next, or... Do you really like to put finish to this before you move on?
Well, I mean, I wish I was the kind of person who could just, like, finish one book and immediately start another, but it's just so mentally exhausting.
Right, well, yeah.
I usually don't do that. I usually do kind of shorter projects in between. So I did. I have started a new creative project, but it's something very different. I actually created a TV show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was. I had an idea for a TV show that I could not... I could not believe this TV show didn't already exist, and when I realized it didn't exist, I... wrote it myself. And so I do have an agent who's working with me on finding a home for it, but you know, that's a, you know, a very long shot. So for me it was kind of just like a lark before I start working on another book, but a fun lark.
Well, that's pretty exciting though, and it's completely different. Alright, is there anything else that you can think of that you'd like us to know?
I mean, I hope that people enjoy the book. It's you know, I mean, it is kind of, there are parts of it that are really almost like a thriller, you know, where you really are, you know, don't really, you know, reading in suspense and don't know what's going to happen next. But it's, I just think it's, you know, it's the kind of book that can be read in a lot of different ways, and it's amazing to me, like, how people will come up to me and say things about it where it's almost as if everyone who's reading it is reading a different book.
And I think a lot of book groups will probably pick it up.
Yes, because there's, you know, there's a lot to discuss, because yeah, as you will discover, no one in your book group will be reading the same book as the person next to them.
Yeah, so I think that's pretty exciting. Well, thank you very much for taking time out this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
And good luck, and I hope it's not another 5 years before we talk to you again.
Me too.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So I'm going to thank Dara Horn again. Her new book, Eternal Life, has been out a couple months, and we do have copies in the library, so definitely check it out.
Sounds very interesting to me. Sounds like make a good movie.
I think Laurie would like it.
Or maybe a good, yeah. Yeah, maybe I should buy a copy for Laurie. Is it in the library
yet?
Yeah,
check it out from the library.
Maybe I'll do that.
Yeah, it came out a couple months ago, but then between snowstorms and whatever.
Right.
Things happened. Before we go to our last commercial break, it is April 5th.
And it is indeed.
The latest edition of the Jim Thatch bookmark is out. It is a professor with a very complicated mathematical equation on the board, but a lot of smart students because there's a lot of hands raised.
So it's not that complicated.
Not really. Are they? I found three HCLs.
There's four.
I know where there's one I'm missing. I'm sure it's on the blackboard someplace.
Yes.
Yes, that's the one I'm missing. So
you saw April right away?
I knew it was there, but I looked for it.
Okay. I kind of like this one. I'm on a good run right now.
I just jinxed it. But this was a surprising one.
Why?
I don't know.
Because I'm...
Just like wondering where you got the idea.
I never know. When I sit down every month, I just start doodling, and then something pops up. Usually a month with a holiday, that's usually where I start. But April, I've done April showers to death. I've done Easter to death. I had a question about Easter, by the way.
Yes.
I was thinking about this over the weekend.
Oh, swell. That's where we always get into trouble.
Excuse me, how was your Easter, by the way?
It was pleasant, thank you.
Pleasant?
How was yours?
Did you stay for ham?
I got ham to go, and I got called out for getting first overs before they became leftovers.
Gotcha. Okay. Easter.
Yes.
So Jesus.
Yes.
Is put in his crypt, and then 3 days later, he's risen from the dead. Mm-hmm. How did we know he didn't rise 15 seconds after being put into that crypt?
Well, the tomb was guarded for a while because they wanted to make sure that somebody wasn't going to come take his
body. But how do you know he just didn't?
Like after 15 minutes after the guard left, you don't.
No, not 15 minutes after just...
Well, no, but you're not listening to me. The tomb was guarded in the beginning.
Yes.
Because the elders wanted to make sure.
But he might have ascended into heaven while they were standing
there.
Oh,
you mean like and just didn't come out of the cave?
Yeah.
Until. It's
but maybe
possible.
Later on somebody
like just walking
rolled
around.
The stone away or whatever.
Well, he's just walking around. You just have to take
assuming it happened quicker than 3 days.
You guys got to take some things of faith, Jim.
I do take a lot of things of faith.
There you go.
But I have a feeling it happened before that.
Did you get all your dishes done?
Yes.
I was a little put out this year because Joanna seemed to have been written out of the narrative.
I never made it to the... Wait, say that again?
Joanna was written out of the narrative. She was one of the women... In older, in different narratives, who was one of the first women with Mary Magdalene and Mary at the tomb.
Oh, yeah?
And she wasn't mentioned this year.
Well, I have a feeling the whole Mary Magdalene thing is kind of... I don't think they got that right, the Catholic Church.
All right,
I think some things have been changed. You don't want to talk about this. What was I about to say before that? Something about Easter?
You missed something?
My dishes? Oh, I missed... Something. I did miss something. Oh, I didn't go to the fudge shop this year, first of all. I always get something for Easter there. I didn't really buy Easter candy this year. It was kind of a bummer. They still selling it, like, probably at slash prices at Walgreens, or it's too late.
I don't know. I was in ShopRite Monday, and they didn't have much left.
Yeah.
But I bet one of the drugstores would.
Maybe. Yeah, things turn over pretty quick. Okay. Let's go to our last commercial break. We can do...
We do Today in History.
Today in History, if you'd like. And then we have some other... We need to talk about the Friends book sale at least.
All right, first Today in History, then the Friends book sale. We'll be right back.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Hunterton Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterton Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterton Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.huntertonhealthcare.org.
Welcome back to the Library Show. I'm Jennifer Winberry with Jim Thatch, and Jim Gonneau will be in a few minutes to take care of some business. I think they're playing hide-and-go-seek out there.
There's a ruckus out in the hallway, Jennifer. It's time for Today in History, this time every week, but not this time every week. About a half hour ago every week, I asked Jennifer some questions about events that happened on the date, which is April 5th. In years past, I also give her some names of people who were born or who have died on April 5th. See if she knows who they are just by hearing their names. You're not going to do well today.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, you'll get half of them at least. You'll get more
That's
than
kind
half,
of
four
heaven.
To six.
It's okay.
Okay, Jennifer, we're going to go back to 1614, early times in American history. In Virginia, Jennifer, Pocahontas. It was Pocahontas' wedding day on this date in 1614. Pocahontas marry?
Oh, it was just in the crossword puzzle a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember.
I would think the trick, what if people think it was, if you watch the movie Pocahontas, the Disney movie, you think she married John Smith.
No, it wasn't.
She did not marry John Smith. She married John Rolfe.
Oh, yeah, it was in the crossword puzzle, and I didn't know it then.
Yes, John Rolfe.
I should have retained it.
Then brought her back to England where Pocahontas died.
Very sad.
Actually, interesting family history on my side. A relative on my grandmother's side, my father's side, Cartwright, was a witness to his will. Back in Jamestown when Rolfe died. In Jamestown, my relative was there at the reading of the will. I think my relative was probably one of his servants, but who knows, Jennifer. 1862, American Civil War trivia. The Battle of Yorktown begins on this date. In 1862, what's significant about the Battle of Yorktown?
It's Pennsylvania.
Oh, well, you know what? I'm confused here. All right, I've mixed wars.
Virginia.
What?
No, Virginia is Yorktown. No, but Yorktown was World War.
Was with the Revolutionary
Revolution.
War.
You mean Pennsylvania, York.
No, it says Battle of Yorktown. I got to look this up now. I just glossed over thinking it was the Battle of Yorktown in the American Revolution. Why was significant? Okay, my question that has nothing to do with April 5th is, what was significant about the Revolutionary War Battle of Yorktown?
Did we talk about that? Was it the Monitor of Merrimack? And we talked about it last week?
That was the Battle of Hampton Roads.
All right, what was Yorktown?
What was significant about the Battle of Yorktown in the Revolutionary War,
Maybe
Jennifer?
Maybe they had two battles there.
No.
What?
It was the final battle.
It was the final
The British
battle.
Surrendered.
So what is your...
At Yorktown, Jennifer.
So what is your 1862 question?
I don't know.
What's the answer?
Something. There was another Battle of Yorktown during the American Civil War.
And what was the answer?
I don't know, Jennifer.
Oh.
Like I said, I confused the Battle of Yorktown.
See.
You're just trying to want to ask me one more time?
I'm confused.
That I made a mistake, Jennifer?
No, I'm confused.
I know you're confused. Okay, people born on this date, Jennifer. 1909, Albert Broccoli was born.
I'm assuming the vegetable wasn't named after him.
No.
I don't know.
Albert Broccoli was a film producer, Jennifer, most famous for the James Bond movies. And Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
1933, Frank Gorshin was born.
Oh, he's in the Trump administration. No. Gorsuch, never mind. I don't know.
Well, some people may think he is when you hear what he was.
No, I've seen
He was an American actor, Jennifer, most famous for playing the Riddler in the old Batman series. Ring a bell?
Yes. The Siege of Yorktown began today in 1862 as part of the Peninsula Campaign of the American Civil War. But it doesn't. It's not really a...
It wasn't a significant battle, Jennifer.
It wasn't particularly, no.
1946, Jennifer, Jane Asher was born. Never going to get this one.
Nope.
Unless you're a Beatles fan.
Oh, dear goodness.
Jane Asher was once engaged to one Paul McCartney. Jane Asher was a famous English actress who met Paul McCartney when he was younger. And they dated for a while and got engaged, but then broke it off. You want to know why?
Sure. No.
Try to tell. Well, I don't want to slander Paul McCartney on this radio show.
Oh dear.
It was Paul's fault. Let's put it that way.
Oh my.
1976. Jennifer Howard Hughes died on this date in 1976.
He was a famous recluse. He was in the movie The Aviator was based on him.
He was a That's boy. Giving me nothing.
What do you want?
Obviously didn't see The Aviator.
I did.
Then what did he do? And name something he did in life. Recluse.
I don't
know. That's not enough. Well, number one, he was an aviator.
He flew planes.
He was also a very famous Hollywood film producer. So he made his money, Jennifer. And director. Okay. 1994, Kurt Cobain died. He was a recluse. And
Sex Pistols. Get a...
You're on the right track. He's a musician.
I don't know what band he was in.
Kurt Cobain famously killed himself on this date in 1994. He was the lead singer, songwriter, guitarist for the band Nirvana.
Oh, of course.
Do you know Nirvana?
Mm-hmm.
Name one song they sing.
I can't. Couldn't possibly.
And then finally, 2008. I didn't even realize this gentleman was dead, Jennifer. Okay. Charlton Heston.
Oh, he was Moses in the Ten Commandments. Yes.
Big NRA supporter. So obviously you can now get his gun from him because he can easily get it from his what's the saying? Pry from my cold, dead hands or whatever.
Oh, my goodness. He
was in Ben-Hur.
Was he?
Yes, he was. And Ten Commandments, Jennifer. They were both Charlton Heston.
I said that.
No, you were guessing at Ben-Hur.
I wasn't.
It was one of those Jennifers, if I'm right, that's what I meant. If I wasn't right, I was just kind of...
guessing.
Yes. Okay. We have 4 minutes left.
Okay.
I don't want to talk about the book sale today. The book sale is coming up. For more information, go to our website, hclibrary.us, the 22nd Annual Friends of HCL Book Sale. You're not going to want to miss it. So all the information is on our webpage, right on the homepage. Just click on the link on the homepage at hclibrary.us. Let's talk about the HCL Outdoor Art Show. That's starting to come along, Jennifer. It's time to enter. We've already received almost 20 entries.
That's good.
To the HCL Outdoor Art Show and Sale, there will be cash prizes. The date is Saturday, June 9th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's open to residents of Hunterdon County. Entry forms are available at all the county libraries or online at hclibrary.us. A link to the entry form is right on the home page, Jennifer. So let's quickly run down what it's all about. So what happens that day is we set up snow fences in the grove of trees at the Hunterdon County Library on Route 12. 75 local artists, the first 75 who enter, will come and hang their artwork on the snow fence. Jennifer will have two judges that will go around and pick the best paintings from the show. There will be a Best in Show Award. There will be a Published Choice Award. And there will be first place cash awards in each of these categories. Jennifer, student, ages grades 7 through 12. Adult amateur, and adult professional. All mediums are welcome. That includes oils, acrylics, tempera, watercolors and pastels, pencil, ink, chalk, and charcoal, and mixed media. The entry deadline is Friday, June 1st, and like I said, we accept the first 75 artists. So if you're thinking about entering, I would enter soon since we already have about 20, Jennifer. All artists are welcome to sell their work, and understand in years past, artists have done very well selling their work. Marshall's Dixieland Band will be on hand all day to provide some background music. There'll be a kids' craft in the meeting room. Kids will be welcome to come in and create their own art. I believe it's an Egyptian-themed, Jennifer. And that's the HCL Outdoor Art Show. We've been doing this 6 or 7 years now again after we did it way back. We kind of took a little hiatus. And it's back again. The HCL Outdoor Art Show and Sale. Go to hclibrary.us to get an entry form or for more information.
The book sale is coming up on April 27th, 28th, and 29th and 30th. It opens to the public at 8 a.m. on Saturday, April 27th. If you're a friend, it's free. And if not, it's $20 a person. And at 10 o'clock, it opens to everyone.
Free to everyone.
Free to everyone. Sunday is half price day, and Monday is bag day. Bags are $5. And beginning April 14th, the friends will start collecting... April 16th, I'm sorry. The friends will start collecting books, used DVDs, no records, please, no cassettes, video or audio cassettes, no National Geographic, nothing worn, mildewed, torn, stained, falling apart. And they will have two drives on. One will be on, do you have the drive dates there? I'm doing this from memory. At the South County Branch Park, where the book sale is held, which is now the Roger K. Everett Field.
April 14th and April 21st, Jennifer.
That's where I was getting the
from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. If you have smaller amounts of books, of course, just drop them by in the lobby of any of the Hunterdon County Libraries, and we'll take care of them for you. But the large amounts, we'll drive them out to the fairgrounds, and we'll unload your car for you. And we appreciate your donation.
And they will also be accepting like new goods for the Tricky Tray in October at this drive. So if you've got that Christmas present you need to re-gift and it's still all shrink-wrapped and everything, bring it on by.
And interesting.
Put it together in a basket.
I didn't know they were doing that. Yeah, it's the first I'm hearing of this.
Yeah. I don't know if they're announcing it or maybe they changed their mind and didn't do it, but I did hear it.
They're telepathically letting people know?
Mm-hmm. I did.
Surprised. I don't think many people are going to show up with things, Jennifer. Not many people have that ability.
I know. It's a gift. And it's also a gift to know it's 11:57 and it's time for us to go. So thanks to Dara Horn, author of Eternal Life, for spending some time with us today. Remember, wherever you are, you can stop in, go online, or come or call. Your library is always there for you.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
National Guard troops being deployed to the U.S.-Mexico border as President Trump signs the authorization for that last night. He wants them to stay there until a wall gets built. Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen saying it's also time that border security laws be tightened, something she says Democrats shouldn't have a problem with.
I never talk to a senator or congressman who doesn't tell me that they're in favor of border security. So now is the time to fix it. Let's get together and put forward a legislative proposal that can pass.
Nielsen speaking on Fox and Friends this morning. A tour bus bound for the Masters Golf Tournament in Augusta, Georgia this morning veers off Interstate 20, injuring 14 of the 18 people aboard. The 61-year-old tour bus driver has been charged with DUI. This is USA Radio News.
Life needs to be enjoyed with family and friends, to laugh and to share. But tragically, addiction to alcohol and drugs can ruin that. So, if drugs and alcohol are a problem in your life or the life of someone you care about, then isn't it time to make a change? The Watershed Addiction Treatment Programs have been offering life-changing results since 1998. The Watershed has successfully treated and helped over 50,000 people get their lives back. So if you're ready to make your change and be free from addiction to alcohol and drugs, then it is time for you to make a change. The Watershed knows how to help you recover and promises to help you begin your change. Your new life can begin right now with just one simple text on your mobile phone. Text the word RECOVER to 474747. That's the word RECOVER to 474747. And a caring Watershed treatment professional will help you make your change. Do it now. Just text the word RECOVER to 474747 or visit us at thewatershed.com.